Morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I'm going to open my prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are in heaven, that you are our God and our Father, that you have given us the Lord Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit, Father, that we can know you, we can understand your word, and we praise you, Holy Father, for what you have done for us.
Amen.
For your precious Son. We ask that you would be with our hearts and minds this day, Lord, that we may glorify you in the things we think, and we may receive your holy word. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I have some thoughts on joy this morning. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that every believer is given. It is not an emotion when spoken of in the Scriptures, although a feeling of elation and well-being may accompany joy. Emotional joy can be worked up in the flesh. This fruit of the Spirit is much deeper than that. It is rooted in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and what they have done in saving us. Our joy stands rock solid on the words of God and His commitment to save those who believe in Him. Joy comes with faith, hope, and love as an underlying contentment and delight in God. Joy is ours because it comes from a joyful God. In both the Old and New Covenants, God Himself is the ground and the object of a believer's joy. Even under the Old Covenant, God gave His people joy. He delighted in those who served Him with joy and made provisions for the priests and the people to serve Him with gladness. They were to approach His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Psalm 95 through 100 all begin with exhortations to sing unto the Lord with joy. Psalm 100, 1 through 2 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." The psalmist in Psalm 43 asks for God's light and truth to lead him and bring him to God's tabernacles. And he said, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God." David, whose heart was perfect toward the Lord, said in Psalm 16, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy."
Amen.
"At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Was Jesus joyful? Absolutely. It's written that in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." It's from Luke 10. Jesus rejoiced in seeing the Father's wisdom and work. Another example of his joyful spirit, Jesus gathered the children to himself when his disciples tried to stop them from coming. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them, Mark says. Still thinking about, was Jesus joyful? Our Lord taught the parable of the man who found treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. From one perspective, Jesus is that man. The treasure he found were his own, his saints hid in the field of the world, but he purchased the entire field. In that he died for the sin of the world.
Yes, amen.
And it was for joy that he sold all that he had to purchase it.
Amen.
Joy that the treasure is now his, and joy that he is exalted at the right hand of God.
Amen.
The night of his betrayal, Jesus spoke many things to his disciples. The reason for this was that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. When he told them he was going away, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that you will weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice." And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy.
Amen.
How great would be their joy at that hour. Jesus' greatest delight was to do the Father's will. It is written of him in Psalm 40, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The Amplified says, Who dwells in, whose home is in heaven. The scripture is from John 3:13. Now he said this when he was on earth, that he is the man in heaven. While here, he had unbroken communion with the throne of God and always spoke with the mind of the Father. His joy came from that communion. In looking forward to the cross, that time he would be cut off for the sins of the world, it was the joy set before him that moved him to endure it.
Amen.
This joy must have involved the glory that the Father would restore to him, which he had with the Father before the world was. Jesus taught us when to rejoice. Blessed are ye, or happy are ye, when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, and this is what we look at, the behold part, behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Now Peter and the other apostles rejoiced after they were imprisoned and testified of Jesus before the high priest and the council. And they departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were not going to be silent. Peter wrote to the believers not to count it a strange thing when they go through fiery persecutions, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Amen.
Why should we be glad? This is evidence to your own heart. And to others that the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Exceeding joy comes when glory is in our minds and hearts. When the 70 that Jesus sent out returned to him with great joy because the devils were subject to him through his name, Jesus redirected their focus. He said, In this rejoice not, that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
In this world, sorrow is mixed with joy. Paul said that God's ministers are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. One thing that helps their joy and ours is faithful brethren who stand fast in the Lord. Paul spoke of the Philippian brethren as my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Many of Paul's beloved brethren we can read of by name. And John also wrote to beloved brethren. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Amen.
The Father and the Son joy over those believing and trusting in them. We want to live so in that day Jesus may present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Amen. Amen.
This exceeding joy, we've tasted of this.
Mm-hmm.
When we come out of darkness and the Lord shines that glorious, his glory to us, it is truly joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because when that happens, there aren't words in this earth that can describe, and it doesn't relate to the flesh at all,
right.
That joy.
Amen.
It is a glorious joy that comes straight from heaven.
Amen.
And we have tasted of that, and we continue to taste of it in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But when you said exceeding joy, I thought how wonderful it was to have this exceeding joy at that time when you first believed. What is it going to be like when we see Jesus face to face and
Amen.
In front of the Father? Everybody's going to burst in hallelujah or something, you know, hallelujah chorus, Hosea, you know, highest and all that, and glory to our God, and it's just going to, we can't even put it in measure of how glorious and grand it's going to be.
Yeah.
I appreciated that, thinking that. Making me think what you said.
Amen.
I think that's what these thoughts are for. We call them meditations. But what they do is they make us meditate. I know you studied to put this together, but it makes us think about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things it made me think about almost instantly was one of the things that drew me toward what we call in this world, we call it the Christian life or whatever you want to call it, but drew me to Christ himself. Was the fact that God is not mad. He is a pleasant and joy is, it's almost a small word because the way we use it.
Yeah.
But he is a joyous God. Was he saddened and in fact enraged by sin? Yes. And is he still? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But just like the apostles, don't rejoice over these things, you do rejoice. Your name is written in heaven. Be joyful for that. Well, God is joyful, and he's satisfied. And it's one of the very first things that the Lord impressed on me as a young person was God is satisfied with us in Christ. Because
mm-hmm.
he's satisfied with Christ.
Yes.
And as we enter into Christ, then he's satisfied. So he's not this mean God, mad God, and he's not the grandfather. You know, that some people teach it.
Yeah.
Anything is okay. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is right in what he's doing, but he's also very joyous about it
mm-hmm.
because he is bringing his children to himself.
Amen.
You know, and that, it's just good to think about those things. So thank you.
Yes, amen.
I'll expound on something, but something that always gets me through is a song goes, what a day that will be when Jesus I shall see.
Amen.
When I look upon his face, he's going to save me by his grace.
Yes, amen.
When he takes me by the hand
mm-hmm.
and leads me through the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
What a day. Glorious day that's going to be.
Yes, amen.
That gets
amen.
Me through a lot.
Yeah.
Looking mm-hmm. forward to his coming and just to be there.
Amen.
What a blessing it's going to be.
Amen.
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 Thank you, brother.
I was thinking when you were talking that joy, it's not an emotion only. I suppose it expresses itself sometimes emotionally. It's more than happy. Happy, I think of the phrase that Sister has here, it comes and goes. You know, happy comes and goes. It depends on the circumstance, maybe. But joy is actually like a preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually something from within. And when you think of getting up, to do something or going to put yourself to a task and you're not prepared, you feel not ready. It's just a very discomforting feeling. But when you think of being ready for something, but see, that's what joy does. It prepares you for whatever situation comes your way. And when you think of it in regard to, as you were talking, the what's set before us, see, that's the joy.
Mm-hmm.
We have a joy because we know there's a preparation for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just going out into a, oh, well, what will happen to me? It's not like that at all. So, thank you for that, Sister Sarah, and all the things that we'll be thinking of.
Amen.
Amen.